Hi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Jane.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up,
the relatable dating podcast.
You is so vast nowadays, which is both positive because it means it is spoken about widely. It can also feel very overwhelming. And maybe the thought of going to a dungeon, a sex party or like a swingers party is too much.
Hello and welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Jane, he's Phil, and today we are joined by Ossa Bove. So Ossa is a dating, relationship and intimacy coach, as well as a matchmaker. She's also the founder of Taylor Matched, which is dating without apps based on sexual preferences. So on today's episode, we've got how to create deeply satisfying relationships, creating that connection not only with your partner, but yourself, the weird world of dating, dating disasters, into the ick of it, and lots more. So welcome, Ossa.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are so excited.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. Having an intimacy coach on is really cool for us.
Yeah.
So let's start off about Taylor Matched and the idea behind it.
Yeah, so everything within Taylor Matched and now my coaching business is actually a reflection of my own life and my previous love life, as I refer to it, because it looks very different today, and this is what I want to support others. I found myself in a position where I either met men who I was compatible with in life. We were not sexually compatible. We didn't have the intimacy I fully understand now, nor did I have the tools to speak about sex or my wants, you know, inside and outside the bedroom. And I thought, sex is really important to me. This relationship has a lot of things, but it feels more like a friendship. I'm going to go out there in the dating world and I'm going to lead with sexual compatibility because I now know this is important. Did that, found sexual compatibility, but we were not compatible in life. We didn't want the same things. We didn't compare when it comes to values and what's important to us outside the bedroom. So for a very long time, I was going between these two sides. And to a point, I thought, I'm going to have to give something up in order to have something. That's not how I operate in my life. And I was like, that's not how I'm going to operate now. And after doing a lot of inner work as well to fully own who I am and all the sides of me and knowing that as a successful businesswoman, I can have love and I can have an exciting sex life, I then started looking at the dating industry. And dating apps have never been one for me. It was fun when I was in a relationship and swiped for my friends. I was like, come on, this guy's really cute. Look, this one has got a dog. Like, I don't even like dogs. And then I became single and I was like, oh my dear God, I'm not doing this. So it was a lot of things that came. I felt really, really called to then support others on that mission. And then it was a lot of things that just kept being aligned and coming into my life. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to match people on sexual preferences, life compatibility. We're not an app. We're taking it back old school. And Taylor Matched was born.
I love the whole premise behind that because so many people relate to that. They just settle for either, like you say, you know, that you can either be sexually compatible and not life compatible, but they just stick with it because they think, oh, well, I like that side and I'll just put up with the other sides. So it's, you know, so relatable to so many people. I mean, for myself, my first relationship, I wasn't sexually compatible at all, but it was my first relationship and I just thought, it must get better, or I'll just put up with it because he's like my best friend. So it's nice to hear people talk about it.
Mm. No, I can really relate to that. And also the phrase, you know, it will get better. It's a lot of things working. We're going to stick this out. It will get, you know, better. And then a lot of people is like, if I'm really honest with myself, no. And I'm going to have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you actually watched the Netflix series Sex Life?
Do you know what? I actually haven't. I think because in my day job, I speak about dating and sex so much. And my beautiful partner, David, he is a men's coach and also intimacy coach. There is a lot of conversations, and then it's our own beautiful and exciting sex life. So sometimes it's like, I just don't want to watch anymore. But I've heard it's absolutely incredible, yet they are quite stereotypical. Is that right?
Yeah.
Have you found that?
I absolutely loved. I binge watched the series, but it's basically exactly what you're saying is she's attracted to someone sexually, but he can't give her what she wants in life. So she gives that up to settle with a man that can give her what she wants in life, but not sexually. So it's about her feelings and her thoughts, and she starts journaling, and when she journals, it's kind of brings out all her past feelings, and she's questioning, what should I do? You know, should I stick with him? Should I leave? So yeah, it's a great series if you ever get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, you piqued my interest now.
No, I've been watching Sex Education though. Oh, I really enjoyed that
so much. Yeah, love that so much. And now you can rent her house, apparently. I was like, I'm in.
Yes, I saw that on your Instagram, actually. You shared that story, and I was like, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a lot about intimacy and connections with other people, but I think the most important connection is probably self-love and self-connection. So how do you go about that? How do you go about learning to love yourself?
Yeah, such an important question. And, you know, this is why I decided to become a coach, again, as a reflection of my own journey, because I thought, what's the point of matching two compatible people if they're going to do what I used to do, which is self-sabotage out of anything that felt healthy. So it's been a big journey to give myself what I was often looking for in others. But because I couldn't give it to myself, it didn't matter how much others were trying to give me love or affection or trying to instill a trust, because I just couldn't hear it. I couldn't really. So for me, and the work that I do when it comes to self-love, is really to tune inwards and you see, you know, what is important to us? How am I actually feeling? I am a big fan of open heart meditations, where we just look what's in our heart, what is our yeses and our noes. And self-love can be so many things. And for me, it's really been to give to myself what I didn't or couldn't in the past, because I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't think I was good enough. I always had to work, I thought, extremely hard to have a rest day, for example. The only time I did rest was when I was way beyond feeling really deeply exhausted. So it's a big journey, and it's so many different things. And this is why it's so important to also talk about what self-love can be, a lot of different things. What would it look like to you? What does it mean to you? What comes up as we're even speaking about this for those of you who are listening? And, you know, let's start unravel it from that point of view.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And regarding like intimacy with a new partner, you know, some people are into kind of kinky things or fetishes. Do you think that's something that should be discussed at the start, or wait till you kind of build up a kind of comfortable relationship and then speak about it?
We often get the question, like, what should I say on date one? Should I do this on day two, date three? I feel, and this is the hardest part to teach, because it's actually very fluid. It very much is to be clear about our own wants and needs. And when we're on a date, let's say you're on the first date, and it feels like, A, make a pact with yourself where your boundaries are. How much am I willing to share? Where are my yes and no's? And if it feels like the conversation is going well, and we feel like this is, you know, I feel comfortable, I'm really enjoying this, and it's something that's been a yes from you to share, and you feel that person is worthy of that information, then I think it's a yes. If it feels like a yes to you, I would say in the dating journey to talk about it earlier rather than later. Also understand that maybe we wouldn't go on date one and be like, yeah, you know, fancy going to a dungeon next time? Or, you know, you walk past torture gardens and you look and be like, hey, have you ever been there? And they might be like, oh my God, I went last weekend. It kind of depends. If you have different things around you, then you can use it. But the earlier, the better in the connection, because we see often, and what I used to do in the past, I never spoke about it in the hope that we would be compatible, or maybe we're a little bit compatible. And as you know, you explained earlier, let's just hope that it gets better. But we just never, you know, and then when it's too late, some people can go, oh, what about if I tell my partner now? They're going to think, why have I withheld this information? Mm-hmm. Are they going to judge me? And then they talk themselves out of it. So the earlier, the better, in order to just establish compatibility. But I don't think it should be like a tick box exercise. Date one. Now I've said to you everything that's important to me, just for the sake of it, to kind of see how many boxes they tick. It needs to be much more fluid. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Now, on the side of kinks, because I know that Taylor Match has now got Sub in the City working for you. Just a few questions, because there's probably people out there that's listening that might want to try new things, new kinks, but they just don't know how to go about it. They don't know whether it'll be something for them. They don't know whether, you know, where to go to try, and the best places and the best ways. And
this is Phil asking a question for himself, I think.
No, it isn't. I mean, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. We don't know what we like until we try new things, do
exactly.
we?
Yeah. So. You know, because the sex menu is so vast nowadays, which is both positive because it means it is spoken about more widely. It can also feel very overwhelming. And maybe the thought of going to a dungeon, a sex party, or like a swingers party is too much, but you know that it's some curiosity to explore something. What I always start with is, how do you want to feel? What does sex mean to you? Why do you have sex? Who do you get to be during sex, and how do you want to feel? Because that might be, you want to feel powerful, or you want to feel powerless. And if you want to feel powerful, what activities might come to mind, and what would that look like in terms of your exploration? So that's a really, really good question to start with. How does it make me feel, and who am I allowed to be during sex? One of my favorites, I should have brought it, I don't know it off by heart, but we do sex manifesto with clients, and also within my coaching, where it's like thinking back to our favorite sex memories, when we felt most connected, when we felt most like us, when it feels authentic and pleasurable and orgasmic. What do they all have in common? And then go for that. It's also a really good way to sex negotiate with your partner.
That's so interesting. That makes so much sense.
I've got one more question that I want to ask you. What did you think of 50 Shades of Grey, the film?
What did I think? So when 50 Shades of Grey came out, I didn't even know that Taylor Match one day was going to be, you know, a thing. I knew that sex, and, you know, I was very, very curious in the bedroom, still am. So I did go to, and it was just, it opened my mind to, I mean, when they are filming, like, what is it called? That room, you know,
the bedroom.
Yeah. And like, the bedroom, and when they go into, it's like, you know, whips, and it's, you know, different floggers. And I was like, oh my God. And it made me excited. I was like, oh, I'm really excited by this scene, you know? So it did pique my curiosity. I did speak to one of my friends who, even before what I do now, she's her dominatrix, as it happened. Didn't know that until a little bit later. She also have this like really corporate high-end job. And I was like, oh, you're so cool. You can have both. I want to be like you. And she was like, you know, just be aware as you're going out to explore of like the fake Mr. Grace with people who have no idea about what it is. So they can't speak about boundaries. They can't speak about how a scene is set up and how it's played out. So I used to send all my messages to her. I was like, do you think this is a fake Mr. Grey or a real Mr. Grey? She was like, fake, don't bother with him. This is a good one. Go on a date with him.
That's amazing.
She's a great person to know when you're dating.
Yes, very much. Yeah, she was also the one who introduced me to Killing Kittens, actually.
The weird world of dating.
This segment is called The Weird World of Dating, where we give our guests two statements, and all they've got to do is figure out the truth and figure out the lie and tell us the reasons why.
So this section, we have The Weird World of Dating. So this week we'll be giving Ossa two statements, one truth and one lie. So Ossa has to do, all she has to do is guess which is a lie and why. So the first statement I have is men take longer to fall in love. So men take longer to fall in love. And Phil?
My statement is your nerve cells work better during the first year of love. One is a myth, one is true.
I think the second one is a myth.
Which one? Mine. The nerve cell works better during the first year of love.
Yes.
Final answer?
Final answer. I think that's a myth.
Jane, do you want to reveal?
Actually, the one that I said is actually a myth, and I'll tell you why. So we've got here the reason. This is, I know, I was the same as you. I was quite surprised. So men take longer to fall in love. So the reason for that is because, while men have this trend in relationships, it would also be worth noting that men are highly encouraged not to show their emotions from a young age. So they've been told, boys don't cry, don't be sensitive. So if they are feeling a huge rush of emotions at the beginning or end of a romantic relationship, they tend to keep it to themselves. So this is research from the human sexuality, sex and relationship coach, Jordan Gray. So just basically said, on average, men actually fall in love faster at the beginning and fall out of love slower than their female counterparts. There we are. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense, because obviously when a breakup happens, men just tend to run towards somebody else, and then that goes wrong because they're not in the right place, and then they'll spend months just like wallowing away. So yeah, that does make sense, but I'll explain why mine is true. So
yeah, very interesting.
Your nerve cells work better during the first year of love. A protein in our body called nerve growth factor, or NGF, that is important for the functions of certain sympathetic and sensory nerve cells seem to thrive during the first year of being in love. Basically, our senses are heightened and our fight or flight response system is more active during young love. Yeah.
Very interesting. Thank you. Always learning something new.
You're very welcome.
The special guest segment.
Lights, camera, action.
This is the special guest segment because, hey, who doesn't like to make a guest feel special by giving them their own segment? Just listen and find out. It's great.
Right, it's the time. It's the time. It's the special guest segment. Now, Ossa has, well, me and Jane, we like to do challenges on the show that guests set us. And currently, do you want to tell them the score, Jane?
No, I don't actually.
It is 2-0 to me. Now, I'm a bit worried about this one. So we have our boards to draw on. And Ossa is going to give us five, possibly, tantric positions and we have to draw them. Now, I'm really worried because Jane has an art degree and she's amazing.
So basically, I was told at school not to take art. I'm that bad. So I'm definitely not going to win this one, but I'll give it a try. You know, I'm up for trying, but my art skills are appalling. Sickening.
I really wanted to be good when I was very little. My mum was like, "Why are you drawing all the time?" I was like, "I just really want to be good at drawing. I want to have good grades."
I'm not that good either, by the way. And we haven't Googled anything, and no. I think we are going to do quite poorly on it. But it's a learning experience, so yeah.
Okay.
We're ready.
Right. Are you ready? This is going to be a good one. Okay. The Yib Yam.
Okay.
The Yib Yam?
Yes.
This is... Right. This is a lot harder than it looks.
Yib Yam. I don't even know what that means.
Me neither, but we'll find out.
Oh my goodness. It's going to take a while.
Well, we'll speed it up.
I just feel like it's going to be so imaginary.
Well, this looks like a murder scene.
I don't even know how to draw a stick, man.
I don't know if this...
I feel like giving up already.
No, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. We're good. how's your stick going?
I can't even draw the stick. That's a problem.
Right. I'm not sure whether this is right, but...
I'm going to explain. I have to explain what mine is because it's not...
Yeah, I would love... I think it would be good to do like the thinking behind it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Well, you go first.
I go first.
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. See, I was thinking...
Oh, yay. I love that, though.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Kind of, yeah. That way, yib yam. That's what I was thinking with that.
I'm so embarrassed right now.
Okay, now Jane, show yours and we'll discuss.
This is
happy days.
It says hugging from behind. So like coming in from behind. So this is someone's in from behind, kind of wrapping their arms round.
I got that.
I'm so impressed. It's like, Phil, it's almost like if we can imagine yours when we're sitting up.
Okay, so yeah. Kind of.
So that is, yeah, exactly.
This
so
is it's the kind way of, that I
this
meant
is like
it.
A 69, but you know,
oh, wow,
it's so
it's close. Amazing. Actually, it's amazing like that,
so
Phil.
But I'm very, very impressed.
I would have got the point.
I'm very, very impressed, actually.
That is impressive.
Awesome.
Okay, let's see what other stick and right. I can draw.
Well, this is going to be the reason why I think that, I mean, this is going to be very obvious, but I just think it should have more air time. And it's what we call the hug and breathe.
Okay, Phil, put the pen down.
You're
not going super detailed. Right, you can go first. Wait, let's just put the recorder on. Ready?
So this one's the hug and breathe.
Yeah. Yep.
So I've basically got two people holding hands. They're supposed to be hugging, but I don't know how to draw that. And they're communicating through breath and... they're going...
Oh, they look so happy. Oh, yes. Oming. Very good.
Yeah. That one was mine.
Oh, for goodness.
So that's like basically, yeah, the first one looked like, but there's also, I mean, I'm so impressed with your drawing.
My drawing's not great.
I think it's so good. I just would not know what to do. I think it's really good. Yeah. So it is, you know, you can do it in a standing position. You can lie down. And as in the name, it is, we talked earlier about coming into our body rather than being in our mind. It's actually synchronized breathing. Okay. Where we breathe together in harmony, we have a synchronized breathing together, which also can cultivate erotic energies and sexual energies. And it's a simple one, but it's so, so connected, which is really beautiful.
That's amazing. Right. Are you ready for the next one?
The great B.
The great... Don't draw a B.
I don't even know how. Okay, Phil, you go first.
Me first. This isn't going to be good. So, the great B. I thought it looked like a B. So her head.
Yeah.
Her head, and she's kind of bent forward slightly. Yeah. It might not.
Very bendy.
So, mine's obviously in the art of Stickman again. These are two people like connecting, facing each other because they want to be as one. So they're.
We can't say.
Oh, be as one. That's
be as one. They're connecting as one person.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's very, very good.
Thanks
for the right.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, when it's so many different one, but it's like, it's different position. My favorites anyway, it's like when we can be close, often facing each other and where it's like we can support each other with the breathing as well. I just think it adds so much more intimacy. But I think you did really good. I'm very, very impressed with them.
Cool. And as always, we need a winner.
Oh, well, we kind of know that Phil's going to win because your drawings are fantastic.
Made a call very Dane. Sorry, but I was very impressed. I was like, when we're doing some new material, we'll give you a call. We need some new illustrations.
Definitely. I'm not that good. That is amazing.
Oh, I love that.
Dating disasters.
This segment is called Dating Disasters because, let's face it, we've all had them. So, now it's time to hear from our guest and hear what the worst date they've ever had is.
Okay, so in this part of the show, the guest tells us that they're dating a disaster. So, Ossa, do you have one of your own or one you've heard that you would like to tell us about?
Oh, I remember it was one date that I went on and I should have, and I guess this is one of the reasons why I massively cut down drinking, because I went to see The Weeknd and then we, on our way home, swing by McDonald's, spoke to this guy and he was just so funny. I was like, God, I really remember you. It's like so funny. We exchanged numbers. I was like, my friend said, why are you in there for such a long time? I said, I just met the funniest guy. So we exchanged numbers. Then we met when I was sober and he was not funny at all. And we sat down and I was like now when I educate and do this thing, I always, you know, if we feel safe to do so, to kind of sit on the same side of the table, just like, you know, be a little bit more closer together and things. But I just felt like he could not read my body language. And I was like, I want to sit, not next to you, basically, to just have my own space. And he started speaking about conspiracy theories. And then he started talking about, is it called the Fourth Mason? I think there's like a...
I've heard of the Masons.
Yeah. The Masons. And he was like, and then he started talking about this, time when he was going to be a part of this, group of people or like become a member somewhere. And before he knew it, they asked him to like meet them. out in the woods in the middle of the night with like something on top of his head. And I was like, this makes me feel so uncomfortable. Who are you? And where is the guy I met in McDonald's? Who was so funny?
I think you were, he was drunk funny. That's what he was. While you were drunk, he was funny.
Oh God, I was just like, yeah, I just really thought. And it was just weird, you know? And I was like, yeah, you know, I could be one for conspiracy theories. You know, I too have sat and Googled and lost some hours on that. Yeah. And you see, you know, have Madonna and Britney Spears and God something in common? What happens there? But when he was talking about it was actually the last time and the only time I had to text a friend to be like, hey girl, you need to tell me that like our washing machine is broken because I need help over here. And he just couldn't read it. And he was really nice, you know, he was nice. And I said, oh no, oh dear, I need to go, you know, something has happened at home. He was like, don't worry, I'll walk you to the tube, I'll carry you off. I was like, oh my God, I literally can't. But you know, it was a nice thing to do, but it was just very how he just spoke about his experience of like going out in the woods to meet a group of men with something on his head. I just didn't know, what do you even say? That was just super awkward.
Bye, see you later.
Okay, cool, this was fun. Yeah, we should totally never talk.
Did you need the toilet? Because while you're in the toilet, I'm going to run out.
Yeah, exactly. God, look at the time. I'm so, so busy. But I guess all in all, I've been lucky. I haven't had a lot of bad dates. I think it's just that one was like, I don't know where this guy is taking this conversation, nor do I know what to say. And oh my God, what happened in the woods? Do I even want to know?
Yeah.
And also lucky you've not had many bad dates. I love that because I've had my fair share.
You wrote a book about it, Jane.
Yeah. Crazy.
The Opening Line Awards.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Our presentation will begin shortly.
This segment is called the Opening Line Awards. We have searched high and low on the internet to find the most cringy chat-up lines.
Now we have a segment called the Opening Line Awards. So basically what the Opening Line Awards is we have searched the internet, we've asked our followers, we've asked friends what the worst opening line is that they've ever had. And we're going to find it. So I'm going to give three opening lines that I've got. Now, if you've got your pen and paper, we are going to write them down and see which ones we pick. And then afterwards, it will go into a big tournament and the Instagram followers will decide and we'll finally find the worst opening line. So this week's opening lines. Are you my appendix? Because I don't understand how you work, but this feeling in my stomach makes me want to take you out. That is number one. This one's quite apt. Ayo, girl, are you into conspiracy theories? I want to get Illuminati with you.
Wow. Well, A for effort on puns. I love the fun, though.
Hey, girl, are you like Bad Boys or something? Because I'm not trying to brag or anything, but last night I went to bed at 9:37 and my bedtime's at 9:30. So we've got to choose between the appendix, the Illuminati, or the Bad Boy. Which one do you think is the worst out of that? We will write them down.
Okay.
Are we all ready?
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
Bad Boy.
I wrote very little. The appendix. I couldn't get the whole.
That is down. Fine. There are our two. So it's the one that went to bed at 9:37 when his bedtime's 9:30, and the appendix that somebody doesn't understand but wants to take you out.
Yeah, I just feel like it was such a long sentence. I think, you know, people get, how long is first impressions? I think most people be out of that before they have even finished the sentence.
Yeah.
I was close on the bad boy because I don't think we should romanticize it. Then he said he was like 7 minutes late or she
for bed.
For bed, and I thought that was quite cute because I'm very much particular about my bedtime. I need to be in bed at 10.
I'm in bed whenever, and then I get up really early and don't have enough sleep, and life problems.
First world problems.
Final thoughts.
This segment is called Final Thoughts, where we've reached the end of the episode and we take a look back at what we learned, what we're going to take away, or what we just found a little bit funny.
So Ossa, this is our last segment, so it's our final thoughts. So a part where we give each other one thing we've learned about and we can take away from the podcast. So For me personally, I think you just chatting about breathing more before intimacy, like when you mentioned, it's, we think so much in our heads, and that's something that I'm always doing. I'm always wanting to make sure I can do the best I can, and I'm always thinking of my stomach, like, oh, I hope it doesn't look at my stomach. But when you take that out and just think about breathing, and it takes you into a deeper level. So you speaking about that is definitely something that I'm going to take away and definitely try.
Oh, beautiful. That makes me very happy.
And Phil, what about yourself?
Mine? I was going to say that, but I can't have the same say. I think it's the fact about talking about things and opening up about things, because the things are natural and they happen, and we shouldn't have to feel that these things are only behind closed doors, or we should be ashamed about them. And that's what I got today, and I really, really enjoyed like talking about it all, because it was great. And then also, what was your final thoughts?
My final thoughts, so what comes to my mind is, you know, I understand, and I've been there with dating, we want to meet someone, we're so ready. We want to share our life with someone, and therefore we go on dates to be like, could this be the one? Is he or she the one? Are they the one? To actually give people a chance to see who they are. And even with words, you know, as in the example with me and David, what do they mean? What's their definition? Mm-hmm. Rather than writing people off, I think it's very, very, it's like thank you next. And with so many apps, it's created this, you know, there is always a better person on the next swipe, when actually it's like, you know, being present and just like really trying to get to know them. And because a lot of people, you know, if we're not just finding them attractive to begin with, this continues to grow as well. So, you know, seeing what's there and just getting intrigued and curious by the person that's in front of you.
Yeah, that's amazing. That, that sums it all up. So, also, if they want to find out more about you or Taylor Matched or any of your amazing courses that you and David offer or you offer, then where can they find you?
Yeah, so we're very active on Instagram. So you can find us on Taylor Matched. So it's Taylor as in tailoring. And my coaching side of the company is Coach with Åsa, and my name is spelled A-S-A. So either of the two, and always love to connect with people who resonate what we've been talking about, or maybe something they learned or what they want to dive deeper into as well. So that's the easiest way to find us, I would say.
That is amazing. And thank you very much for being part of the show. And I want to try this because Heido, is that right?
Yes, it's awesome. Your pronunciation is so good.
And this is how we're going to say goodbye to everyone. So, Jane, we've got to say it at the same time. Yeah, is everybody ready to say goodbye?
Yes.
Hey, bye everybody.
Bye everyone. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you for listening.
If you want to find out more, you can follow us at Unhinged and Mumbled Up or
Swipe Forever After.
And if you want to send us an email or check out our website, it is www.uadu.co.uk. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, just a quick message for you. Just a reminder, we have all the extra segments on Patreon still. So if you want to have more segments, more chat, find out more information that Orsa gave us, then definitely head over to our Patreon page, which can be found at www.patreon.com. That's betreon.com/unhingedandbumbledup. And for the price of a cup of coffee each month, you will get the extra swipe, which this week will include the unedited challenge. So you can hear it all, which there's some funny bits in between. So again, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.